Greetings, my name is Jeff Larkin, and today we will be looking at Psalm 71. This psalm, written by an old man, and though it is untitled, was probably written by David. This psalm is appropriate for all of us in the probability of days of feebleness that will come to all of us, sooner or later, if, by God's mercy, we are allowed to grow old. So let me read Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You who have done great things, who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. So here we have the psalmist in his old age appeals to God for help from his enemies, pleading God's gracious dealings with him in the past, and stating his present need. And, in confidence of a hearing, the psalmist promises his grateful thanks and praise. Matthew Henry says the psalmist intended it for the general use of God's people in their afflictions, especially those they meet with in their declining years. For this psalm, above any other, is fitted for the use of the elderly disciples of Jesus Christ. Of course, some of us fear growing old. Old age has many unwanted, even frightful aspects. A body which is more susceptible to illness and declining strength. And because of this, the body cannot do as much anymore, which can lead to feelings of uselessness. The older you get, you see more and more people die. The reality of your own death becomes closer in your mind. Sometimes there can be financial concerns due to a dwindling income. Your family can be busy with other interests and pursuits, leading to a feeling of loneliness or that you are a burden to them because of some needs you cannot meet yourself anymore. In World Magazine last week, there was an article on Canadian Christian doctors who were under great pressure to aid in suicides. Euthanasia is now law in Canada, and if anyone is seeking suicide, doctors must provide it. And yes, most of those considering this are the elderly. And though all these downward effects of old age may be true, they are also very self-centered. They're focusing on yourself a great deal of the time. The Lord, however, has a different purpose and outlook for old age. We see God's use of older people in the Bible all through it. All the following were past their 70s. When Abraham and Sarah saw their son Isaac come into the world, when Moses and Aaron were called to lead Israel from Egypt, when Joshua, who served the Lord by leading the conquest of Canaan with the help of Caleb, when Daniel served as governor in Babylon, and when Simeon and Anna were waiting for God to reveal the Messiah. Now, if God used old age back then, and all through history, we certainly cannot think He does not use old age now. Even old people like us. I mean, look no further than our own church. I don't want to name names, but their initials are Pastor and Nancy Adams. Also, if you are old or retired, you have a great advantage because you have the time to do many of the things that need doing. Prayer, visitations, even phone calls in a COVID-19 world are extremely helpful and give glory to the Lord. So let's begin to look at Psalm 71, just the first 5 verses, and see why it is good to be in the hands of the Lord as an elderly person. Verse 1, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. That let me never be put to shame, the Hebrew word there is bosh, meaning shame, and it often represents the result of misplaced trust. But here, the psalmist prays that his trust in the Lord will be vindicated. In fact, those who take refuge in God are often described as blessed or happy. He prays that he might never be made ashamed of his dependence upon God, nor disappointed in his believing expectations from the Lord. Think about this. When you pray to God, what do you expect of Him? Do you believe He can answer your prayer? And yes, He will answer in His timing, and because He is sovereign, He will answer with grace that brings Him the most glory and what is best for us. However, this may not be the answer you're looking for. But even so, with this petition, every true believer may come boldly to the throne of grace, for God will never disappoint the hope that we have within us. That very hope God Himself put there. We please God and praise God when we pray with a true confidence we have in Him, when we believe the things God has told us about Himself are true. If we are entirely satisfied with God's all-sufficiency and the truth of His promise, and in being dependent on God's truth and promises as sufficient for all things, then we are freely willing to do or to go, to lose and suffer for Him. Verse 2, in your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. This verse refers to God's just judgment. Because the psalmist knows and believes God is his refuge, he also believes that God, as a just judge, should protect him and punish the wicked. And we will see this in verse 4. Sometimes we may either be trapped or just feel like we are trapped. Finances, addictions, many other things that we sometimes consider smaller, excusable sins. Yet we still feel like a bird in a net or an animal in a steel trap. We can't get away, so what are we to do? We call on the name of the Lord to stretch out his hand, to tear the net or break the trap so we can escape and be delivered. And hasn't this been what the Lord is always doing for us? Before we were Christians, we were enslaved by sin, but the Lord saved us. Yet we still must pray to the Lord, for we cannot do anything in ourselves. And though our prayer is weak, the Lord bends down to hear us. He condescends to our point of need. He stoops way, way, way down to hear our cry, "Lord, save me." Verse 3. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. If the psalmist is David, he knew what it meant to live among the rocks, the cliffs, hiding out from Saul, the king of Israel, or various other enemies. We have never reached the sum of our grace-given privileges till we are more at home with God than with anyone else in the universe. What a wonder that the eternal God is our refuge! What condescension that the infinite God should be the home of his saints! The psalmist would not merely live in God's world, but within God himself. He would realize the meaning of Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, verse 1, when he said, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." God has given the command to save us. And then all of God's people can say, "You are my rock and my fortress." And what a rock and fortress. Here God is telling us he is our peace and our security. God is unchangeable. God's arm is not shortened. God cannot be defeated. Not only that, but no purpose of God shall be defeated either. No decree of his shall fail. Rocks may erode away with time, but the eternal God changes not. And his people in Christ are at home with the Lord. David also felt great safety from his enemies. He must have felt like the eagle when it soared upward to its nest high in the cliff on the rocks, and from there looks down upon the enemy. He's almost out of sight, but with God-given eagle eyes, he can see all the movements of his opponents. We are ultimately secure in Christ. But will difficult, impossible things still happen to us? Of course, but only that which God uses for his glory and our good. In Table Talk magazine for May, there's a study on Hebrews, and the comment on Hebrews 5:7 says that God heard Jesus' prayer for deliverance and answered it. However, he did not answer it by keeping Jesus from suffering. Jesus still went to the cross. His deliverance was his resurrection. This is instructive. God does not always answer our prayers for rescue immediately. Deliverance from some things will not come on this side of death, but we will ultimately be delivered from all evil in our glorification if we trust Christ. So when we trust in the Lord, security itself is ours, here for a time on this earth and for all eternity. The trials of life cannot harm us. The bereavements of death do not cause us to despair, Sickness will actually promote and help our sanctification. Poverty will even increase our wealth of experience. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. You are secure from the penalty of sin, for Christ has taken it for you. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus' atonement secures us from the wrath of God. Our transgression is forgiven. Whether young or old, those in Christ have a blessed sense of perfect security, and we should enjoy this. For who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And then also here in verse 3, he says, "Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go." That mighty fortress is a place we can now go anytime, anywhere, because of the life and death of Christ. In all our thoughts and actions, in our business difficulties, in our family afflictions, in our personal conflicts, there is this blessing that we may always flee to God for help and comfort. Think about it. Continual access to the God of all grace is a perpetual fountain of joy. For the Lord says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In death and in eternity, this is the privilege that we always have. For every believer in Christ, that we still may draw near to God. Now, this being able to always go to God is not only a joy in itself and in its outlook, but it is a joy which answers so many blessed purposes, even purposes that God has for us beyond our felt needs. We can always go to our rock of refuge. He waits to be gracious. He listens for his people's cry. Verse 4, "Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel." The words "they're evil and cruel" emphasize that the psalmist's enemies are violently oppressive and unjust, a stark contrast with the lifelong faithfulness of the psalmist. When we address such a prayer as this to heaven, it can do more injury to our enemies than if we had turned the whole U.S. military on them. Why? Because God is almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent. He formed all of creation by his breath. He spoke it into existence. And if it is the Lord's will, it will be for the honor of God to appear against our enemies. For he is a holy, just, and good God. Verse 5. "For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." Appealing to God's righteousness, the psalmist asserts that God is his hope. He shows his loyalty to God by acknowledging that he has trusted God since he was young. God, who gives us grace to hope in him, and therefore we may go to him in prayer and ask for this hope to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 17:13 says, "Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame." And as God cannot be a false or failing hope, we may expect to see our faith and confidence justified. And then he says, "My confidence since my youth." By remembering what God had done for him, the psalmist expresses the real cause of his faith, and from this we can understand the powerful influence which the remembrance of God's benefits had in nourishing his hope. So anytime we focus on the Lord and count our blessings, remembering what he has done for us, we strengthen our faith and our hope, and it is also a reason for our constant praise. And we also see Jesus in these verses. The Father gave no one the commandment to save except for Jesus. In verses 2 to 4, we see the words rescue, save, and deliver. Words like rescue, deliver, and save stress the urgency of the situation and the need for God's speedy intervention. Jesus is the only one who can do this for the psalmist or for anyone else, including you. He is the way and the truth and the life, the only way to eternal life with God. He died for our sin debt and lived for our righteousness. God is gracious to the elderly. All we have to do, among the many God-glorifying trials, tribulations, and sufferings the Lord gives us, is to remember what God has done, to remember what Jesus has done in our lives, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen.